Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Hey, thanks, Dad. Today, I'll be sharing a conversation I believe will be especially helpful for parents who want to set godly examples for their kids but may not know where to start. With so many voices competing for our children's attention and cultural messages pulling families in every direction, it can feel overwhelming to navigate difficult conversations. But my guest today has a front row seat to these challenges, both as a father and a member of the film industry. His name is Scotty Curley. Scotty is an actor, writer, film director, and producer known for movies like War Room, Overcomer, and Extraordinary. He's also an assistant professor in the Cinematic Arts Department at Liberty University, where he teaches specialty producing. Scotty believes that nearly every great movie reflects the story of the gospel, and he encourages parents to use these themes as opportunities for meaningful conversations with their kids. He reminds us that while you can't raise children in a bubble, you can equip them with discernment and the full armor of God to shine as disciples in the world. One powerful way to do this, Scotty says, is by helping your children find Christian mentors who model the kind of life they want to live while always pointing them back to the Lord. We have a lot of wisdom to unpack on today's show, so let's get started.
Thank you for having me.
One thing I want to ask for parents listening, you know, I don't have kids of my own yet, but my wife and I were having these conversations about potentially starting a family, and we're praying our way through it, and these conversations have come up for us. It's like, well, when do you give a kid a phone? When do you give a kid a tablet? When do you put them in front of the television? If so, what are you playing? Because like you said, it deeply impacts, yes, worldview, their development, but also their mental health. You're talking about anxiety and depression and even addiction, pornography exposure, dropping from 13 to 8 years old, as we were mentioning. Speak to just the parent out there about what are some safeguards that they can begin to implement around media.
So understand that when you give your child an iPhone or you give your child an iPad, you are not giving child access to the world. You are giving the world access to your children. Okay? There's a reason the Apple logo has a bite out of it. It's the knowledge of good and evil. It can be used for good. It can be used for really nefarious things. There's a documentary on Netflix. It's called A Social Dilemma. The executives who make these apps, these social media apps, don't let their kids use it. Why do you think that is? The executives won't let the kids, their own kids, use the app that they make. What does that tell you? There's another adage. It is, if the thing is free, whatever you're using, if it's free, you're the product. It's you that they're data mining. It's you that they're selling to, right? So I would say, parents, do your due diligence. Investigate. And listen, you can't grow your kids in a bubble. What you need to do is equip them. You need to help them to put on the full armor of God. Okay? That way they can go out and they can do, not just thrive, right? Not just thrive, but thrive in such a way where they're fulfilling the Great Commission. And they're like enjoying life. Instead of being depressed and anxious and always under the gun, help them to spiritually prepare full armor. Step back. When you feel the dominoes falling in your life, things are going wrong, step back. Okay, what's going on here? Okay, I see the spiritual battle. I see what is going on. Right? So help them to prepare by having those courageous conversations. And start early. Do movie night, certain appropriate movies, and pull apart the agendas. I bet you'd be surprised. Some movies that we got grandfathered into watching with mom and dad. You pull apart the agenda, right? You begin to realize, oh, wow, I didn't know that's what they're selling. Some of the highest grossing movies of all time, right, have agendas in there that don't align with our worldview as Christ followers. Right? So I think it is critical for parents to do their homework.
Absolutely. do your homework, like you said, and start unpackaging maybe even some of the agendas of the movies that we might even view as clean, right? Or in alignment with our worldviews. I thought you said a word right there. Picture and try to unpackage what they're selling. They're always selling something. And so what are they selling? And can you actually get to the heart of it and have those conversations, those deep, meaningful ones with your kids, with your families, with your spouse? Those things really, really matter.
We want to start having those conversations early. Son, as you know, you may be at a friend's house and you may be scrolling through things that maybe you didn't realize. You're going to stumble onto something. You can always come to me. Let's talk about it.
Right.
Okay? I want to have this conversation with you because I love you.
Yes.
Right? And God has a plan, has a future for you. So you can bring anything to me. Let's have that discussion. Let's have a meaningful, honest conversation. Mm-hmm. My door is always open for you. And if it's a girl, maybe it's talk to mom, right? Okay, mom knows these issues.
That's right.
Let's do a deep dive with mom about this.
Yes.
Right? But they have to be able to come without feeling judged, without feeling ashamed. Imagine stumbling onto something and feeling so ashamed. Do I go to dad with this? Like, I'm so nervous how he's going to react. Well, have that conversation beforehand.
Yes.
Son, I'm always going to love you. If you run into anything you want to talk about, you have an open door with me.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's the important thing for parents to recognize. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I think counseling is so effective, because it's a non-judgmental space where we're trying to create safety and security for somebody to open up and to relinquish the shame. Yep. When shame whispers, if you really knew me, Scotty, if you knew what I just came across, what I just laid my eyes on, what I just chose to watch, if you really knew me, like, you wouldn't love me. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't offer me grace. You wouldn't forgive me. Mm-hmm. Those types of ideas. And again, it goes back to the native language of the accuser is that of lies.
Yeah.
And so we begin to believe it, and it begins to shape the way that we view other people, our relationships, what safety is really all about.
Yeah.
And so I think there's two words: suicide and sex. And that's the myth that if you bring these things to the attention of your children or the attention of somebody that might be suffering silently through them, that it's going to create this curiosity that kills the cat.
Yeah.
But in reality, like you said, it's bringing them up out of a place of love and grace for your children, for those that are hurting, because it's like, no, I care enough about you that I want to have these conversations, because just because you saw something doesn't mean you're a bad person, right? Bring these things to dad, bring these things to mom, because we care enough that we want to help you unpackage them in a safe, sound, secure way, because we love you that much. That speaks volumes.
It does. And even in the classroom, right before I came here to meet you, even in the classroom, I talked about that. I said, God, you got to understand, Scripture says God knows exactly how many hairs are on your head at any given time, right? And I had them hold up their hands. I said, do you know there are 7.8 billion people on earth, and no one has your set of fingerprints. You are a one-off. If a God cares about you that much, do you not think he has amazing plans for you? The worst thing you can consider is to harm yourself or self-delete. Like, you are here for a purpose, you know? And when you have these candid conversations, and look, sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you have to put your heart out there, be vulnerable.
Yes.
And give them an opportunity to respond and listen to them. Right? Because every little thing looks like the end of the world to them.
That's right.
You know, when you're 14, 15, 16.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
It does. I want to jump here for a second.
Sure.
You have an upcoming book that's titled Losing the Plot.
Yeah.
I want to ask just what's at the heart of that book, and upon its release, what is the prayer that every reader would walk away with?
Yeah. So I've been teaching in the cinema department at Liberty University, one of the largest Christian universities, for over a decade now.
Yeah.
And I began to identify trends. Right? We have Christian kids who grew up in a Christian home that are having the same struggles as, quote, non-Christian kids.
Yep.
And then as of 2020, it just exploded. The care chart just exploded. I was like, what is going on? So I started doing a deep dive, and what I realized is that it's all the content, it's the programming, and especially since 2020, because we locked them in their houses.
Exactly.
All they had to
What'd you expect?
Right? So now we have a mental health, you know, crisis on our hands. So I said, you know what, how do I address this? Because I'm teaching this class about cinema worldview, but how do I address this? And I had an opportunity to really talk about these things in the curriculum through the book. So I wrote the book specifically for this curriculum, but I wanted to be universal enough so that every mom and dad, every counselor could look at this and go, oh, wow, now I'm connecting the dots.
Yep.
Anxiety, depression, all these, you know, self-harm ideologies, the warming up of LGBTQIA, right? So there's a movie called Avengers Endgame, right?
Yep.
It was the highest grossing movie of all time, but they re-released Avatar. But there's a scene in the first 10 minutes of the movie where a group of guys are getting together and one guy goes, you know, I haven't been on a date in 5 years. Another guy goes, me neither. I went last week, last Saturday. He cried during the entree. I cried during dessert. Mm-hmm. Now, your 17 to 18-year-old goes, I see what you're selling. Your 4, 5, 6-year-old who loves Iron Man, who loves Cap, they're being acclimated, normalized to LGBTQIA content. Mm. Okay? But now, if you're a parent,
yes,
and you know what you're watching, right,
yep,
and you've studied this, you can have a son, you remember in the first 10 minutes of the movie, what we saw? Let's unpack that from a biblical worldview.
Mm.
What does Scripture say about it, and why? Notice every one of those letters go against the nuclear family.
Yep.
Notice every one of those letters goes against what's in Scripture.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
So that gives us, like, these movies give us an opportunity to interact with the young people.
Yes.
And it's fun for them. Mm. Like, they love movies. They love TV shows. Wow, what an opportunity.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Talk to us, Scotty, just about the idea of storytelling.
Mm.
I believe in the mental health space, we focus a lot on this. There's narrative therapy, so many things that we're utilizing, whether it's journaling and more, but it's through the lens of stories.
Mm.
It's through the lens of narrative.
Mm.
And so for you, as somebody who has spent a lot of time, whether that in the acting space or actually being the storyteller as a producer,
mm-hmm,
speak to just the concepts that you find in every story, like you said, whether it's characters, whether it's roles, whether it's parts and pieces of a good, well-thought-out story, and why that's significant for us to understand in the story that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's interesting is some of the best movies, Superman.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen The Matrix, but it's actually quite interesting, interesting one. But it all mimics the story. The story of Jesus.
Yes.
There's a good versus evil.
Yes.
And there's this character that overcomes all.
Yep.
Neo in the Matrix, Superman and Superman, Man of Steel.
Yeah.
They're all copying the story.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's an incredibly powerful tool, storytelling. It is the one medium, right? Movies, TV shows, and music, where you can reach millions, if not billions, of people with your art, right? Cinema even more so, because it includes the power of music, right? And we all grew up with it. These incredible stories. We got grandpa. Like, when was the first time you watched Star Wars Episode 4?
I mean, way back.
Yeah?
Way back.
Right?
Yeah.
All of us. Like, we got grandpa. Pull apart the agendas of that movie.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
George Lucas even talks about, well, you know, I had some of my Buddhist ideologies put into that movie.
Mm.
Right? Raiders of the Lost Ark is another one. Great movie. We all grew up watching it. Yep. There are some things in there that is normalized, like casual alcohol usage, you know, and other things.
Yeah.
But it informs how we live our life, because it happens without our knowledge or consent. All this content is like a computer that runs software. All this programming, the 26,000 hours of it up to age 18 and beyond, it all manifests in the way we think, the way we talk, how we act, how we feel, right?
Yes.
So we have to look and go, okay, what are we feeding here, right? You heard the analogy of the good wolf and the bad wolf, the Indian chief,
absolutely,
right? Where he's talking to his grandson, says, Grandpa, tell me this story about the two wolves. He goes, you know, there are two wolves constantly battling within me. One wolf is an alpha wolf. It's a good wolf. I feel great. It's powerful. It's a leader. The other wolf, it's constantly making me angry, and it depresses me, and it gives me anxiety. And he goes, well, which wolf wins? And he goes, the one I feed the most.
Hmm. What are you feeding the most? Because what you feed grows.
Yeah.
It's just this idea that we have to continually, again, safeguard and protect our minds and guard our hearts, as Scripture said, for the wellspring of life flows from it.
Absolutely.
Scotty, as we're talking about stories, one thing I know is G.K. Chesterton put it really well, that we are all destined to misunderstand the story we find ourselves in.
Mm.
That might be because somebody throws us off track.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, I think that comes through experience.
Mm-hmm.
We all experience hardship and mm-hmm. suffering and mm-hmm. pain. Mm-hmm. We all have different interactions, mm-hmm. different upbringings, different childhoods. Mm-hmm. All of those things, just like entertainment and the media and the arts, they influence the story that we find ourselves in. Mm. They might alter us a little bit. They might negatively infect the way, not affect, but infect the way we see God, we see others. We don't allow people in because we're always living in this self-preservation, stonewalling piece where it's like, no, it's me versus the world. It's the Lone Ranger concept. When somebody's out there who finds themselves misunderstanding the story they find themselves in, mm-hmm. what is their duty? What mm. is their responsibility to get mm. back on track, mm. to remind ourselves of what the grand narrative says mm. cover to cover in mm. God's word, mm. to remind ourselves we don't have to be the victim, but we also don't have to be the hero. Mm. We just have to be an active, willing participant in this story mm. that we call life. What's a word of hope and encouragement to somebody misunderstanding their story?
Yeah, so I look at it in terms of pain, pain that hurts and pain that alters. Pain that hurts helps you to grow, mm. right? There's two ways to learn.
Yeah.
Experience, your own experience, which means you make lots of mistakes and you yep. grow through it, or a mentor who's already traveled the path before you. It could be a coach, an instructor, could be your professor, whoever yeah. it is. Now, if you learn from your own experience, you mess up a lot, but the most important thing you end up burning is time, hmm. and it is the one currency you don't know how much you have of, mm. right? Now, if you go to a mentor, and this is what I would tell that person,
yeah.
right, is find yourself a mentor. Now, you got to understand, parents, you lose your influence. You know, as kids get into high school,
yep.
you begin to lose your influence in college. You know, they want to branch out and do their own thing.
Yep.
Those young people either need a professor, a coach, or somebody who's only a couple of years ahead of them that they can look up to and go, oh, that's that cool person I want to become like.
Yeah.
Right? So I think what's important is to find a friend, a mentor, a confidant who has traveled the path that you want to be on. And go, hey, can you walk with me? Will you walk with me during this period of life? What do I need to look out for? And they'll go, there's the pothole, there's a speed bump, there's a crack in the road. Let me fast track you and let me take you back to the ultimate, right, hmm. information, the real source, which is the scripture.
Yes.
So it's important to find the right mentor.
Yes.
Because they're gonna work out of the right set of blueprints,
hmm.
right? Ultimate truth,
yeah.
the word of God, Hebrews 4:12. So I think it's critical to have the right perspective and find the right people. Surround, there's reasons, you know, like you look at some of the best filmmakers, they were in college together, they came up together.
Exactly.
You look at some of the best tech people, guess what? They worked in Silicon Valley together.
Together.
So you wanna find the law of the inner circle, John Maxwell talks about this,
yes.
right? You wanna find your tribe, but you wanna have people that are a few years ahead of you. They've already been down the path that you're currently traversing.
Mm-hmm.
And they will help you to save you time. Again, because you don't know how much of it you have.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the bank, you know exactly how much money you have. You take out $20, okay, I got X amount of money in reserve. Not so with time.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are guaranteed tomorrow.
That's right.
It's the most precious, valuable resource you have because you can't buy.
Yes.
Even if you have $1 billion, you can't buy a minute of it. So to learn from a friend or a mentor, gold.
It's gold. Mm-hmm. As we wrap up the conversation, Scotty, yeah. my mind's going to a particular verse that's been impacting me deeply here recently. But before I go there, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about just the conversation we've had.
Mm-hmm.
This verse came to mind because a lot of times we make the aim the stage.
Mm-hmm.
We make the aim the spotlight and mm-hmm. the bright lights. Mm-hmm. We want to be first. We want to be famous. Mm-hmm. We want to have the fortune. Mm-hmm. We want to get the ladies or the men, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's what we make as our aim in life.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he's encouraging them in their faith, in their hope, and in loving one another, loving God first, but then loving each other with a brotherly love, saying to them in verse 10, continue to love one another even deeper.
Mm-hmm.
But then in verse 11, he says this, but make it your aim or your ambition to live a quiet life,
mm.
minding your own business,
mm-hmm.
working with your hands just as you have been instructed,
mm.
so that you might win, in a sense, the reputation or notice from other people or outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
That's our goal. It's not to be first, it's not to be famous, but it's to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
To the person that's listening today that mm-hmm. finds themselves in a story of discouragement,
mm-hmm.
they're disappointed with the way that their role has played out
mm-hmm.
on this side of eternity thus far.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the chapter, they don't like the verse.
Mm-hmm.
What's a final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation you share with them?
Yeah, so I would say, listen, you don't know the impact that you're going to have on somebody until the other side. Okay? Think about the guy who saw Billy Graham and his friend come into the tent. Billy Graham was going to stay and hear the message, but it was too crowded, and he didn't want to, you know, go to the front and sit down. He's getting ready to leave. The usher runs out and grabs him and says, hey, son, come here. I'll find you two seats. Please stay. Brings him back, sits down, hears the gospel, comes to know the Lord. Billy Graham, you may be the usher. You don't know the impact you're going to have on somebody, right? If you're faithful, you walk with the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit because it's a quiet whisper. I've never had the Holy Spirit yell at me. It's usually like a feeling or a nudge. The Lord's like, hey, go do this, go talk to this person. Be faithful. You don't know the impact you're going to have. Stay faithful. I think of the guy who brought Billy Graham back in. Like, what if he hadn't done that?
Yeah.
Right? We don't know. I teach these students. I don't know. The next one may be Michael Bay. Next one may be Steven Spielberg. Next one may be a student on the brink of not being on this earth anymore. But maybe something I say that day gives them hope and they go, oh, wow, God's got a plan for me. Mm. He just said so. He showed me scriptures that backed it up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And now that kid is on a different trajectory.
Mm.
We don't know.
Mm.
Just keep being faithful.
Just show up. Scotty Curley, my friend, what a joy, what a delight it has been just sitting down for this conversation. I know you've educated me. You have encouraged me. You have equipped me to continue to do the good works that God has placed ahead of us. Thank you so much for joining me, my friend.
It's been a blessing being here. Thank you.
As we wrap up today's conversation with Scotty Curley, I hope you were reminded of the incredible influence parents have in shaping their children's lives. In a world filled with voices fighting for our attention, Scotty encouraged us to use everyday moments, even stories in what we watch, as opportunities for discipleship. Remember, you can't shelter your children from every challenge, but you can prepare them to stand firm, walk in faith, and become lights in a dark world. On behalf of my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, thank you for joining us today on Life, Love, Faith, and Family. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.